Hello and welcome to Behind the Bar again. It seems to be behind the bar quite a few times this month. It's been a busy month. With the Josh twins. They're not related, but I'm going to call you the Josh twins now.
Not actually twins.
And we're talking about their... I suppose you'd call this a supplementary book called Beside the Lesser Travel Roads. Would you like to say hello to you? Well, hello, both of you.
Hello.
Evening.
Fair enough. So, Jay, do you want to take the first question?
Same as it is every time. If Pint of Cthulhu was a drink, what kind of drink do you guys think it would be?
If what was a drink?
A pint of Cthulhu. If Cthulhu was poured into a pint glass for you.
Oh, right.
It's a little icebreaker.
Also gets us drink recommendations. Okay, bad ones, usually.
Recommendations.
I'm bringing them on June.
If you want just a decent drink recommendation, then I drink a lot of mead, so I'd definitely recommend mead. I love it. There's two notable meaderies, I think, in the UK. There's Nidhogger, who are based in York, and Afon Mel, which are based in North Wales. Both run by nice people. Both make good mead. There you go.
Give it a look.
Oh, I've seen Afon Mel before.
Yeah.
It's funny you should mention mead, though. Purely because if you go to Snowdonia, there was this tiny looking weird shack of a shop called Snowdonia Honey and Wine, and it's more of a wine mead, but it was run by this absolutely batshit looking crazy old man who was genuinely the nicest person you'll ever meet. But honestly, if you ever get to Snowdonia Honey and Wine, find the crazy old man, because he will get you shit faced.
Try it out.
Give me a quest.
Hi, Josh, have you got a suggestion?
I don't know. I've just got a head full of mead now. It's been a
mead
while.
Mead all around,
yeah,
that's
like
not a problem.
Just got a taste for mead.
Okay, well, can you tell us a bit about yourselves, what you kind of do, and your kind of role within Lesser Travel Roads? We'll start with... No, I'm going to avoid saying Josh 1.
No, Josh 1, own it.
Go on, Josh 1.
All right, okay. Well, I'm Josh 1 for this interview at least. I run Art of Arklin. I'm, I suppose, primarily an illustrator. I've worked on Inspire Isles, Over Isles, Caravan Endures, Bard RPG, Arkelion, among some other stuff, and my own game, Woad, which has yet to be released. My job on Beside the Lesser Travelled Road, I suppose like 90% illustrator, 10% writer, because I get to write on this one, which is quite good fun. So I'm writing 5 of the locations out of the original 20. And doing most of the artwork for it. Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. And I suppose, unfortunately, that means you're Josh number
That's
2
okay.
for this
it's
one.
It's my turn. Arklin, Josh 1. Took it with a... Took it on the chin on the last one. So it's, yeah, my turn to be Josh 2. I am... Josh of Five Mind Games. I make RPGs and board games. Primarily my own, although I've done the odd bit of freelance. Mostly for Steamforged Games. For Beside the Lesser Travel Road, I am, I guess, lead designer. I'm doing 15 of the core locations. I'll be doing all the editing and freelancer wrangling as well. For the currently 9 freelancers. And doing the layout, some of the bits and pieces too.
Nice. Sure, both of you do wonderful work. So what inspired you to create this module, this supplementary work?
Ooh, good question. I've had it rattling around in my head for a really, really long time. And it kept coming back up. It's been like 2 or 3 years. It's been like one of those projects that I'll get to eventually. I think my most recent bout of inspiration on it was watching Lord of the Rings. And there's a bunch of nice scenes of them sat around campfires, you know, having sort of characterful moments. And yeah, it sort of got me thinking about the project again. And I ended up speaking to Josh about it. What was that, Dragon Meat?
We attempted to have a business meeting about it, didn't we? And then just ended up eating and talking to staff, so.
Yeah, that does sound like us. And was exactly what happened, to be fair. we tried to have a very professional sidebar meeting at a networking day. And just, yeah, sort of started on the pints, actually.
The start of many good true adventures, I'm sure. Start on the pints and see where you end up. Have you got anything to add to that, Josh?
Whenever Josh and I have been talking about it, Dark Souls has always been a big inspiration as well. Those, like, quiet moments you get in the game where you, like, come around a corner and there's just a bonfire in a lonely room, or like on the side of a cliff somewhere, and you get to sit down and just not be stressed out for a little while.
Yeah, I think particularly nice. Those ones that have a weird dude sat by them that you end up spending some time with. I know that one of my locales is, I'll say, heavily inspired by the infamous, was it the Crestfallen Knight from Dark Souls 1?
Oh, from Firelink Shrine, yeah. Crestfallen Knight, yeah.
Yeah, that whingy little pessimistic ass who's, negative about everything. That's one of the scenes. It's just going to be the party trying to deal with him whilst they're trying to share a space for the night.
Now I have to ask. I'm obligated to ask. Speaking of whingy little bastards from Dark Souls game, is there potentially a patches in your?
I've been going back and forth on it.
Yeah.
You know you want to.
Do you though?
Crestfallen fits the vibe better, but patches seems like a lot of fun. Doing both seems cheap. But I really want to do a patches.
So, with Lesser Travel Roads, how have you managed to adapt the core mechanics of each of these areas to fit with? I mean, this is TTRPG kind of ambiguous, isn't it? It'll fit most of them, if I'm reading this correctly. Mm-hmm. How have you managed to write that in a way that will work for multiple different games?
So, a bit of that is that I'm trusting the DMs to be able to adapt to it. There is a page right up front that's going to set some generic terms across a few systems. Like, hey, if we're talking a big bonus, you know, these guys, the party have been really respectful to this gravesite, and because of that, they've been blessed with a small bonus or boon. This page right up front is just going to run through what that might look like in a few systems. You know, if you're feeling generous, it might be advantage on something. It might just be a simple +1 to a particular type of roll. In Pathfinder, it will look different. In Morkborg, it might look like this. So I'm going to set some guidelines like that, which means that throughout the locations, we can refer to this gives a small bonus, this gives a small treasure, a medium bonus, medium treasure, etc.
Nice. That makes a lot of sense. It's a lot easier laid out than some modules and systems I've dealt with before. Sensible approach.
It's also pretty like roleplay heavy, isn't it? So it's more, yeah, it's more about the vibe than the mechanics, I suppose.
Yeah, it is roleplay heavy. I mean, that's sort of the bonuses and stuff, the rewards sort of come in at the end of certain ones. But yeah, with it being very roleplay heavy, it's not, yeah, it shouldn't be too hard for even a beginner DM to get it off of the page and onto the table.
Nice. So how did you go about making 20 worlds? 20 different places for the players to be?
Oh, that is
quite a lot.
That was the easy bit, I think. I just have I've got the thing that I think all designers and creatives have, where it's too many ideas and nowhere near enough time to pull them all off. I've had to keep cutting them down. It's one of the reasons why deciding to put patches in has been difficult, because it will come at the cost of another one that I've liked enough to sort of at least jot the sort of the draft down for, or the broad idea of.
Fair play. How about the five you've created then, Josh? One.
I've kind of based mine on different mythologies and folklore. Really, there's one. Ooh. Which is a great oak covered in arrows. I'm going to have like a Robin Hood-esque character, mainly because I just love him. So he's going to be a roguish bandit that could potentially spring on your camp. The other one is like a craggy valley with a stream running through it filled with lotuses. That's going to be based on the Lotus Eaters from the Odyssey. So
yeah.
I won't tell you what it's going to be about, but if anybody's read the Odyssey, you're kind of going to know what the lotuses are going to do. Yeah.
Nice, I guess.
Always love to see a bit of mythology in game design.
Yeah.
So you both talked about some characters that can kind of pop up. How have you gone about fitting these characters to the individual worlds they're in? Without giving too much away, like, you've got multiple different characters. What makes each one unique?
So, I've recently been reading Lancer, actually. I guess it's my most recent point of reference to this. But I think good RPG rule sets and NPCs have a couple of quite strong traits that the DM can kind of latch onto. For instance, the Crestfallen Whingebag is always, always pessimistic, no matter what you say to him. That makes it really, really easy for him to have quite a strong impact. And given sort of the length of the scenes, or how long we expect them to last, it's unlikely that that will get, you know, sort of get tired or get old. So that's just what I've done with mine. I've really wrapped them around sort of one particular aspect. There's a couple of things that might surprise you about them that will come in later on, but certainly they're pretty strongly flavored in one direction.
Nice. And for just one, I guess basically off mythology makes that easy, because myths have always got interesting and sometimes dubious characters.
The fact that we're on kind of like a limit means you can sort of really strip down the characters, which are always usually fairly one-sided, down to just like the core principle, you know, like what makes them who they are, and base it on that, you know, because we're tied to like how much we can actually write. Like it's going to be a big enough book as it is, I feel, especially if we hit some more stretch goals. But yeah, I think it's a good tip that Josh said. Was trying to keep it to like a core principle that you can sort of latch onto key part of their personality. You know, also makes it easier to DM with, doesn't it? You know, like, you don't want a list of 8 different traits that you're trying to like juggle and think about, like, how does he respond to this, like.
Yeah, nice.
That makes sense.
So, what are some challenges you faced when you were making this? Kind of all have been fun. Or maybe it was. Yeah. Right to see.
I mean, for me, the main thing has been scope bloat. Because this was meant to be a relatively small, in and out, nice and easy Zine Quest project. Nice and manageable. And then we had the bright idea to bring on some people for stretch goals. And then suddenly that was 20 people for stretch goals. And that meant, you know, freelancer wrangling. And then, you know, suddenly it's, oh man, actually doing the draft for these, it looks like it's going to be 3 pages per locale, not the 2 that I was sort of hoping for. And now, I think at this point, we're looking at about 100 pages of content, 110 or so. And yeah, I was thinking this was going to be a zine, a proper zine, you know, 40 pages maybe. And yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah, it's something I fall afoul of almost every time.
Yeah, I don't think we help each other in that respect.
No, I don't think we do. But we have ended up with something that's much cooler because of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at your stretch goals now. You've got some incredible writers on there. The only one we know, though, is right at the end. Good old George.
You got unlucky on the draw on that one.
Just a bit.
Having said that, with how Mappamundi has gone, or is going, he does not need it, bless him. absolutely,
I take it you're a backer
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, he got me for.
Did you get the
play didn't know. I got to watch a few of the demos and stuff. And I'm lucky enough to see George regularly at one of the UK tin meets in. Yeah, there it is. yeah, I'm lucky enough to see George on the regular.
Pre-release.
But yeah, it looks fantastic. There are some really, really interesting mindset and mechanics behind it.
Signed pre-release.
Nice.
Show Matt an exclusive book and he turns into Gollum.
Yep. So I've got to ask, the items that you have coming with this, you've got everything from wooden keychain, stickers, couple of dice, then you go down the bone dice route, and I've got to ask, how did you start coming up with the rewards and add-ons? What kind of drove you in that direction?
It's probably mainly my fault, isn't it? Because I do love me some merch. I'm always on the lookout to sort of create something new and cool, you know, that we can later add to our shops or take to conventions and stuff like that. So, you know, it's just a case of what's sort of fitting, you know, what can we make that's interesting and cool and we'll go with the project.
Yeah, me and Josh have recently collabed on a set of medieval marginalia merchandise that we split between us and sort of co-sell. That's been really, really good. It's going well. So we did have an eye on goodies that might do well in the campaign and also might do well afterwards on our stalls. I don't think we really went in with anything in particular in mind, but when we saw, you know, the assets that Josh was drawing for the campaign, it sort of became quite clear that, oh, okay, that sword actually made quite a cool keychain. And be like, okay, well, let's go have a look into that. Oh yeah, look, Zap Creative has some cool wooden ones. That sounds pretty cool. Let's do that.
Fair enough. Some lovely rewards there.
Definitely. I'm
definitely nicking one of those sword keychains.
Yeah.
You mean you haven't backed your campaign?
Guess we'll have to do it for him, Matt.
I mean, I want them bone dice. I'm not going to lie. Some creepy bone dice. God, hell yeah.
I've got a set up here that they've got a really, really satisfying weight to them.
They're more dense than people realise. Like, they're heavy. Like, you know, because bone's more dense than plastic or resin, so... And they're fairly big as well, because they've got to, like, engrave the numbers on them and stuff like that, so... For a set of dice, they're pretty hefty, aren't they?
They're a little bouncier than stone or, like, gem ones as well, so you do get a decent roll out of them. And they're very satisfying.
So,
I must admit, I've always been tempted to try and find it. I know they're out there somewhere. There's got to be some legit, legal human bone dice out there somewhere. Has to be. Sorry, Jay, I cut you off.
No, it's all good. I would also like the human bone dice.
Okay, artisandice.com have got some, apparently.
Sorry, I'll leave googling that for after the interview.
I can't google it now.
Ooh, Matt's just found them.
I might have. They are 300. They start $300 up to. It's $2,500 for the set.
$600. Wow. Fair play.
No. I can figure out how to get one easier. Give me a shovel. So, what was the very best part of making the game? Absolute favourite part, you guys?
I don't know. Working with Josh, obviously.
And you saved that interview.
You flatterer.
Thank you.
For me, it was working with Josh one, but also... just getting back to, like, it's real just, like, classic writing in terms of, like, game design and stuff. They're TTRPG locales. There's a bit of NPCs. Some of them are a little action-y. There's a lot of RP. Despite it being flavoured in a particular way, it's felt like, yeah, like, getting back to, like, just real core TTRPG designing.
It's been nice to draw stuff that I haven't had to think of as well. Like, it's pretty, because it's like locale descriptions. You've got the descriptions of the thing that you've got to draw, which has been real nice, you know?
Well, the artwork I can see on the Kickstarter page does look absolutely
Josh
beautiful.
Absolutely smashed it.
Yes, gorgeous.
Definitely. I mean, this is the first supplement we've ever done an interview for, so some of our questions haven't been useful, some of them have. I'm just trying to work out how to adapt what we have got, I will be honest. How do you plan on supporting the release of this once it's finished funding, as of, what, I think it's like 24 hours now?
Just over, oh, wow. I think. Oh, no, 23, yeah.
23 to go.
Yeah. Only £40 to our next stretch goal.
Ooh, we're going to get Lou Fryer on it. That's nice.
Yeah.
That seems snazzy. I guess supporting this after it goes out, beside the lesser travel roads, has a, how would you say, a future-proofed naming format.
Yeah.
That might...
Franchise. It's franchisable.
Yeah, I've got some ideas for several... blank the lesser traveled road type drop-in sort of modules and stuff that would all be in a, I think, quite a similar vibe, quite a similar vein. In terms of this in particular, it shouldn't be too difficult to get it out and done, and that'll pretty much be it. I don't know what it would need sort of post-release.
I mean, you have answered that. You've got other ideas for future versions, and yeah, that does count as post-release, really, because it's what's coming next.
Yeah, nice. I'll take that.
Yeah.
Makes you sound like I got my shit together.
Of course you do. Everyone here does.
Yeah, we definitely.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Dode and ship shape, I'm sure.
I will have to ask, what kind of release schedule are you looking for this? I mean, once it's funded, how long are we looking between finishing funding and in people's hands?
Probably only a couple of months, actually. Well, a couple's probably pushing it. The deadline for all of our freelancers is the end of March. They'll then get another couple of weeks to do final edits after I've done a pass, an edit and pass on it. We should be off to print by the end of April, maybe May. And it should be delivered and fulfilled mid-May, just before we go and put ourselves through GE again.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Nice.
Just in time for us on June. I can take some bone dice with
you. Can
me.
Indeed.
I think the hope is we get it done, get it out to backers, and then we can take it to Games Expo as well for people. So that's the deadline, isn't it? Mm. You know.
Yeah, it makes sense, to be honest.
I think it's quite a relatively straightforward project, I think, thanks to each location being quite small and contained in and of itself. I think Josh and I have, you know, we've been working on Woad recently. I've been doing a bit of the game design for him, and there's so many moving parts that will depend on each other on that there's no part where you're really just writing three pages, because it has to reference other stuff and has to tie into the rules. You know, the lore's sort of all interconnected. So this being nice, three pages for one thing. It doesn't really connect to anything. It's a standalone thing. Should keep it nice and nice and straightforward to deliver. Hopefully.
He says with the utmost confidence.
Yes.
Yeah, I've never encountered a major roadblock. A major unanticipated roadblock on a campaign before.
Oh, no, never. It's never happened to any of us.
Mm. Yeah, of course not.
Yeah, I definitely haven't had at least four on this one campaign alone. Not this one, Woad.
Yeah, I don't know what you're about. Never had a mid-panic attack halfway through the night realising you forgot to do something before.
Matt messaging me 20 minutes before the session starts, hey, did we ever stat those guys?
That has happened more than once. And the answer was yes, we did.
And you made them worse.
Yes, I did.
Evil. Anyhow, oh, so where can people find you guys if they're going to look? So, like, Blue Sky, Twitter, or I guess IRL if you're touring cons.
Yeah. I'm on basically everything as Art of Arklin. So I'm on Blue Sky, Instagram, Facebook. I still have my Twitter account. I just don't use it. It's just nice to go on there and watch the world burn for a little bit. In real life, I'm going to be at LARPCon this weekend, which is in Leicester, which is like it's called a LARP kit fair or something, where it's basically people selling stuff for your LARP games. I don't really have much of that.
Okay, now I just want to go.
I don't have...
That seems like it's fun.
This one is celebrating the 60th anniversary of the Holy Grail, Monty Python's Holy Grail. Something like that. It might even be longer.
Now.
It might be 69. I can't remember. Or 70 or something like that. It's been a while. Or the 50th. I don't know.
75. Yeah, 50 years.
1975.
Yeah, 50 years was it? Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I'm so old.
So yeah, I'll be at that. I've got a stall there. So will Afon Mel if you want to try some mead. And then 2 weeks after that, so 15th, 16th of March, I'll be at Aircon in Harrogate, which is like a board game expo-y thing in the Harrogate Expo Centre.
Just realised it'll take me 2 hours and 9 minutes to get to Leicester. Don't think I can swing that one somehow. Josh, too, where can people find you?
Mostly Blue Sky nowadays. A little bit on Instagram. I have abandoned Twitter because everyone else did, and then it stopped being worthwhile. I can also be found in real life in Manchester, but they will have to guess what household. What door to knock on. I'm pretty sure if they email me nicely enough, I will come to their house.
Show up outside the door.
Fair enough. Well, one of our short ones, but thank you very much for both your time. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And, I mean, I would say good luck, but, I mean, you've already funded, so... I guess good luck in the next 23 hours of getting
six grand. Six grand is still the goal.
Yeah, we've still got another 10 stretch goal writers to unlock, so.
True. Yeah, well, no, it's been a pleasure. Yeah, thank you very much. And, we will call that here. Goodbye, everyone, and links will be in description. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.